The following article from our Knowing and Doing Quarterly Journal is brought to you by the C.S. Lewis Institute. Our prayer is that this talk will help to deepen your faith and draw you closer to God.
Profile in Faith. What bringest thou? The Life and Ministry of T.O. Soga. By Dr. David B. Calhoun, Professor Emeritus at Covenant Theological Seminary. This article originally appeared in the fall 2010 issue of Knowing and Doing. In Volume 5 of his History of the Expansion of Christianity, Kenneth Scott LaTourette writes a single sentence about T.O. Soga, calling him, quote, an outstanding product of the Presbyterian missions in South Africa, end quote. Indeed, he was. T.O. Soga was the first black South African to be educated overseas, the first black South African to be ordained overseas, and the subject of the first biography of a black South African. According to a modern African scholar, T.O. Soga was, quote, the most prominent African of his time, end quote. T.O. Soga's father was the husband of 8 wives and the father of 39 children. T.O.'s mother, Nosutu, had 9 children, of whom T.O. was the 7th. He was born in 1829 at Migwali, on the eastern frontier of the Cape Colony. His mother gave him the name Sani, which means, what bringest thou? His father changed his name to T.O., for a hero of his people. Nosutu became a Christian. Her husband, Old Soga, was at best a nominal Christian. T.O. was brought to Christian faith by Ntsikana, one of the first of the Xhosa to become a Christian. Ntsikana had been converted through the ministry of Johannes Theodor Vanderkemp, a Dutch missionary sent out by the London Missionary Society. Young T.O. became a student at the Chumie Mission Station, studying during the week and worshiping in the mission's octagonal church building on Sundays. About 8 miles from Chumie was Lovedale, a more advanced school founded in 1841 by Scottish missionaries for European and African boys and girls. The African students were chosen by examination. T.O. and one other boy were candidates for a place at the school. The missionary asked them both, quote, what is the greatest work of God? End quote. The other boy answered, quote, the work of creation. End quote. T.O. replied, quote, the salvation of mankind, because it shows God's love. End quote. T.O. was chosen. In 1846, the War of the Axe, as it was called, began in the eastern part of the Cape Colony between the Africans and the English. Lovedale School was forced to close, and the missionaries and some Africans, including T.O. and his mother, fled to safer places. The missionaries thought that T.O. should be sent to Scotland to further his education. They sought his mother's permission. She replied, quote, my son is the property of God. Wherever he goes, God goes with him, end quote. John Street United Presbyterian Church in Glasgow adopted the young African boy and supported him during his stay in Scotland. He made a public profession of faith and was baptized on May 7, 1848. T.O. did well in school, but he was homesick for, quote, the free air of his native hills, end quote. He returned to Africa with the missionary George Brown, arriving in Port Elizabeth on January 31, 1849. T.O. worked with Mr. Brown as his interpreter and was taught by the missionary, studying together such books as Jonathan Edwards' Heart-Searching Religious Affections. The years 1850 and 1851 were filled with battles and bloodshed over the eastern frontier of the Cape Colony. Again, T.O. had to flee for his life, as did the missionaries, who were blamed by both sides. It was decided that T.O. should return to Scotland and study for the ministry. In Scotland, the John Street Church again gladly received their young African friend and provided support for him while he pursued his studies for the ministry. His goal, he said, was, quote, to learn better how to preach Christ as my known Savior to my heathen countrymen who know him not, end quote. As a student at Glasgow University, Tio was the first black to wear the red student toga, making his way through the foggy streets to the venerable college in High Street. He became a Sunday school teacher in a destitute part of the city. Many people were kind to him, but at times he suffered ridicule and discrimination because of his color. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress was Tio's constant companion. Later, he would translate that book into Xhosa. The Pilgrim's Progress depicted the struggles of a Christian, and Soga saw a parallel with black Christians in Africa. The introduction to Soga's translation states, quote, folks, here is a book for you to examine. The book tells the story of a traveler who walks the road which many of you would like to travel. Accompany the traveler whilst slowly trying to make acquaintance with each other, stopping to take rest whilst listening to the things the traveler tells and reports to you. Move along with the traveler to his destination, the end of his journey. End quote. After a short time in college, Tio entered the Theological Hall of the United Presbyterian Church of Edinburgh. He appeared before the Presbytery of Glasgow every other month for examination on his theological studies and for preaching sermons. Tio completed his theological studies and was honored with his friend Robert Johnston, who was going as a missionary to South Africa, by a reception for them and the gift of 38 theological books. Tio replied to a letter signed by 186 of his fellow students to their, quote, beloved brother in Christ, end quote, thanking them for their kindness and promising always to remember Scotland as his second home. On December 23, 1856, he was ordained as a minister of the United Presbyterian Church. For a few months, he preached in many places in Scotland to congregations eager to hear the, quote, newly fledged Kaffir preacher, end quote. On February 27, 1857, he married a Scottish woman, Janet Burnside, a pretty Scottish lass who was to be his faithful companion and a devoted mother to their children. Little is known about her background or her life in Africa, quote, but she was of sterling character and was to endure with fortitude the loneliness of isolated mission stations on an uneasy frontier, as well as the loneliness of a white woman married to a black man in a color-conscious society, end quote. Tio and Janet Soga and Robert Johnston and his wife sailed from England on the Lady of the Lake on April 13, 1857, and, after a long voyage of 3 months, arrived in South Africa. Tio Soga returned to a people dispersed by war and demoralized by their recent religious practices that had promised so much but delivered only suffering and sorrow. He was not discouraged, however, because, as he said, quote, it is by terrible things that God sometimes accomplishes his purposes. In the present calamities, I think I see the future salvation of my countrymen, end quote. Tio Soga and Robert Johnston began a new mission at Migwali. Sunday services were held at the station. On other days, the missionaries visited out stations. On Saturdays, the two men read their Hebrew and Greek testaments and studied history and other subjects together. A new church building opened on June 15, 1862, built through the efforts of Tio Soga, who had raised the money for the building and superintended the quarrying of the stones and the making of bricks. It was, he said, quote, the most commodious and substantial and the neatest native church in British Kaffraria, end quote. This church building is still in use today. In April 1864, quote, the good and honored, end quote, Dr. Alexander Duff of Calcutta visited Tiyosoga's mission. Quote, I shall not readily forget the shake of the good doctor's hand on alighting from his mule wagon. Interest, sympathy, and Christian brotherly love were in that shake, end quote, Tio wrote. Duff later wrote that in all of South Africa he had found no mission station, quote, conducted in a more orderly, vigorous, systematic way than that of my admirable brother, the Reverend Tiyosoga, end quote. On June 4th, 1868, Tio and his family left his beloved Migwali to undertake a new and difficult work in Tutaka. He faced many disappointments and setbacks as he tried to reach his people with the gospel of Jesus. He wrote, quote, nevertheless, to the true servant of the Lord Jesus, the sky which overhangs the missionary field is not all darkness and gloom, but is often relieved with glimpses of glorious sunshine, end quote. When faced with the complexities of the political situation in South Africa, he remembered that, quote, the Lord is governor among the nations. All these difficulties, like mountain mists, must vanish before the glorious rising of the Sun of Righteousness, end quote. In July 1871, it was apparent that Tiyosoga was dying. In his illness, he said, he found the greatest comfort in having no will of his own, but the Lord's, as to life or death. His loving, anxious wife and his faithful old mother watched over him. His bed was placed by the window of his study so he could look out in the direction of the country where he was born and where he had labored as an ambassador for Christ for over 10 years. On August 12th, he died. John Chalmers wrote, quote, all the struggles, sorrows, sufferings, disappointments of 42 years were forever hushed in death, end quote. He was buried in an orchard of his own planting, just as their spring blossoms were appearing, and the trees were putting forth their tender buds. On the wall of the church he had built at Migwali, a tablet was placed by his fellow missionaries in the memory of the Reverend Tiyosoga. It reads, quote, he was a friend of God, a lover of his Son, inspired by his Spirit, a disciple of his holy word, a zealous churchman, an ardent patriot, a large-hearted philanthropist, a dutiful son, an affectionate brother, a tender husband, a loving father, a faithful friend, a learned scholar, an eloquent orator, and in manners a gentleman, a model Kaffrarian for the imitation and inspiration of his countrymen. End quote. A friend of God, a zealous churchman, an ardent patriot, these phrases sum up Tiyosoga's life. He loved God, the church, and his country in that order. A friend of God. Tio's journal, reminiscent of those of David Brainerd and Henry Martin, reveals his deep love for God and his earnest desire to live for him. We find many entries such as these. Quote, the Lord's Day, evening, 7th March. O most merciful God and Father, I lay before thee all my character. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Bless thy word to me, and may it overcome all evil that is within me. End quote. Quote, Sabbath, 14th May. Preached today on the women who followed Christ, especially Mary Magdalene. O my heavenly Father, thou knowest me. If thou hast begun a good work in me, carry it on unto the day of the Lord Jesus. I desire earnestly to be thine, but oh, the hardness of my heart! By thy blessed Spirit, quicken me, and make me live. End quote. A zealous churchman. Teosoga loved the church, and he served it faithfully as a missionary and a preacher. John Chalmers wrote of Soga's preaching, quote, "Whilst he could not be claimed as the most eloquent South African preacher in English, there was something about the whole man, his purity of life, his sincerity, his disinterestedness, his faithful dealing with men, which made every sentence that he uttered go home to the hearts of his hearers." End quote. Saying goodbye to an English congregation he had served for some years, Teosoga reviewed his ministry among them. Quote, "I have administered to you and to your children the sacraments of the church, and have expounded the only rule of faith and duty, the Word of God. I have spoken to you of Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. I have striven to lead your thoughts to dwell on that heavenly home which awaits the faithful worshippers in the church below." End quote. Teosoga wrote more than 30 hymns, including "Heaven is My Home," "Do This in Remembrance of Me," and "Christ, the Christian's Inheritance." His hymns, wrote John Chalmers, quote, "shall continue to be sung as long as there are Kaffir Christians to celebrate in the sanctuary or in the home the victories of the cross of Christ." End quote. Soga happily worked with 7 missionaries of 7 denominations on a revision of the Kaffir Bible. Teosoga was a faithful Presbyterian, but he loved all parts of Christ's church. He wrote, quote, "I have come in contact with Christians of all denominations, and I have seen them all loving the same Bible and holding it as the one rule of faith and practice. I have, as a Kaffir, often wished that these good friends of all denominations had never perplexed my countrymen with their isms, that they had come here to evangelize the heathen, bearing only one name and having only one distinction of being Christians." End quote. An ardent patriot. Donovan Williams writes, quote, "A tone of sadness pervaded his whole missionary life. It was impossible to get at the cause, and yet, perhaps, it was the fact that he had stood alone. He lived on a frontier, territorial and psychological, which accepted the Western-educated Christian black as much as it did the white. But beyond that frontier lay black pagan society on one side and white Christian society on the other. Teosoga had strong bonds which made him the slave of both." End quote. Soga wrote, quote, "While deeply attached to my people, I am the loyal subject of the best government of the Aborigines that ever existed under heaven." End quote. He called Queen Victoria the best friend of all people. Prince Albert, later Duke of Edinburgh, and second son of, quote, "our beloved Queen," end quote, visited South Africa in 1860. He presented Teosoga with the most beautifully bound Bible Teo had ever seen, quote, "here or in Scotland," end quote. When Albert died in early 1862, Teo grieved deeply and preached on the words from Romans 13, verse 7, quote, "honor to whom honor is due," end quote. He ended, quote, "peace to his ashes, God's own consolation to his bereaved family and our sorrowing sovereign. May God prove to them a present help, and may they, in the Man of Sorrows, find that they have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of their infirmities." End quote. His admiration for the Queen and British rule was tempered, however, by the fact that British soldiers had conquered his homeland. He could not tolerate the singing of Rule Britannia, saying that there was, quote, so much vainglory and pride about it, end quote. Soga appreciated what Western civilization could do for Africa, but only if it was accompanied by Christianity. Quote, my faith in civilization alone, if it does not follow in the wake of Christianity, is gone. Civilization is the handmaid of Christianity only when it is the result of Christianity, end quote. He dreaded, quote, the civilized, refined sins and immoralities of Europe more than the native vices of the Kafirs, end quote. Soga was proud of being an African, a Kafir of the Kafirs, he called himself. He loved his land and his people. He told them in a sermon, quote, I have seen other nations, but I love my own the more. I have seen other places, but I would not exchange the Migwali for them all, end quote. When three of his sons departed for study in Scotland, their father gave them a small notebook titled The Inheritance of My Children, containing 62 entries he had written for their guidance. He told them that there was, among some whites, a prejudice against black people, and reminded them that, quote, God has made no race mentally and morally superior to other races, end quote. Robert Burns' song, A Man's a Man for All That, was a great favorite with him. Tio Soga told his sons that they would be greatly helped by an education in Scotland, but he warned them against an attitude of superiority toward black society, or a tendency to separate themselves from it. He urged them to cherish the memory of their mother, quote, an upright, conscientious, thrifty Christian Scot. You will ever be thankful for your connection by this tie to the white race, but you should take your place in the world as colored, not as white men, as Kafirs, not as English. I consider it the height of ingratitude and impiety for any person to be disconnected with the complexion which God has given him, end quote. Events in South Africa turned Tio Soga more and more toward black consciousness. He strongly defended the territorial and moral integrity of the Africans. In May 1865, he wrote a letter to a newspaper in which he reviewed the wrongs done to Africans and the vices of civilization that had harmed them, but rejoined in the fact that, despite all the disasters, Africa, he believed, had a bright future. He wrote, quote, I find the Negro in the present struggle in America looking forward, though still with chains on his hands and with chains on his feet, yet looking forward to the dawn of a better day for himself and all his sable brethren in Africa. End quote. Tio Soga not only believed that Africa possessed a brighter future, but also a substantial past. He spent a great deal of time seeking to preserve the Xhosa heritage and urged the missionaries to, quote, identify themselves with the people and reap a splendid harvest in the study of their history, prejudices, habits, and customs, end quote. When Tio Soga visited his friend William Thompson in Cape Town in September 1860, his presence caused Thompson to remember, quote, the names of Cyprian, Tertullian, Augustine, and others of Northern Africa, embalmed in the memory as among the noblest men of the primitive church, and as the first fruits unto God of the rich harvest this continent has yet to produce, end quote. Unknown by most of the Christian world today, Tio Soga was part of the rich harvest that Africa has produced and is still producing. Sani, what bringest thou? His mother's name for her son was a good one. The answer is, a dedicated and faithful Christian missionary who loved God, the church, and his people.
Thank you for listening. The C.S. Lewis Institute endeavors to develop disciples who will articulate, defend, and live their faith in Christ in personal and public life. This takes the form of discipleship programs, area-wide conferences and seminars, pastor fellowships, and resources in print and on the web. For more information about the C.S. Lewis Institute, or to support this ministry, please visit our website at www.cslewisinstitute.org.